Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your role with the show.
Well, my name is Brady, and I play Pumbaa.
Pumbaa in Disney's The Lion King, the Broadway
that is
musical
correct.
Version that's coming to the Kennedy Center here in D.C. from June 22nd through July 29th. Hey, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
All right. Well, Pumbaa, not in front of the kids. Sorry. Is there? Have you gotten that, you know, that... That flatulence under control at the Kennedy Center.
Well, you know, I try, you know, but when you're on a diet of grubs, it's very difficult.
Slimy but satisfying, though.
Yes. Slimy yet satisfying.
I love it. Remind us real quick. So obviously, if you can't tell, I'm a huge Lion King fan. Pretty much everybody is. I still remember seeing it in the theaters as a kid and trying to, you know, not cry in front of my parents because of Mufasa. Just the whole deal. It's just a phenomenon. Arguably the greatest Disney movie ever. But where were you? Tell me your first experience with the Lion King.
My first experience with Lion King, I saw it in New York City. I was an actor. I thought it was amazing. It's interesting that when they said they were bringing Lion King to Broadway, I sort of went, how are they going to put lions on the stage? That's not going to work. But then I was part of the process of putting it together very early on. In 1995 was the first time I sort of dipped my toe into the Lion King stage production. And then I was cast in 1997 in the Broadway production. I had seen it at the invited dress rehearsal, which means it's the last technical rehearsal before they invite an audience to come in. They invite friends and people who have helped with the production, and it's a very receptive audience. And I got to see it before the general public, basically. And the first 5 minutes of that show, I just thought, okay, I have to call everybody I know. And I have to tell them to get their tickets now because they will not be able to get tickets for years. And I was right, as was everybody else. I walked out of that theater totally amazed, totally blown away. You know, and I'm a jaded actor, right? I'm like, oh, yeah, show me your lions. And I walked out going, man, this is the best thing I've ever seen. I have to be part of this. And luckily enough, a few months later, I was.
Show me your lions, prove it. And then of course, right from the beginning of probably that Circle of Life song kicks in and you're like, all right, I'm sold. You see the well, we can go into the music.
It's the one thing I can tell people is don't be late. Please don't be late. Don't miss the first 10 minutes because you'll be
parts.
Very sad. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is amazing.
Absolutely. Well, I'll go into the music and, of course, the iconic costumes in a second. But real quick, you're talking about just the Broadway history of it. Was it I believe it was like the second probably, right? Didn't they do Beauty and the Beast adapted first? Was the first Broadway one that kind of proved it could be done? And then The Lion King was like right after it?
I don't know the exact history. I know they did a reading or a stage production of a play called, a musical called King David right before. They did Beauty and the Beast and Beauty and the Beast, and they had a lot of things in the pipeline. I took my hat off to Tom Schumacher, who's just this amazing producer. He's the head of Disney's theatricals, which is the stage arm of the Disney production or Disney world, that huge thing that Disney is. Yeah. And he was the one who I think just said, oh, you know, it would be great to do the Lion King is Julie Taymor, who is, you know, a genius. She's just a genius. I mean, she wrote some of the songs, she did the costume, she directed it. She had her fingers in every aspect of this production. And it's like I said, it's a work of genius, really.
Absolutely. And it was a natural, I mean, at the time it was like, oh, no, they can't pull it off. But in hindsight, it was, of course they could, because you know, that quote unquote Disney renaissance of those animated movies of like, you know, Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, like, you know, a modern Mount Rushmore of animated movies.
Exactly.
They were musical in nature anyway. You know what I mean? So like it made, you know, you had Howard Ashman and Tim Rice and Alan Menken, you know, just writing epic songs.
Doesn't always work though, right? So you have a lot of plays based on movies or animated films. That just they don't translate. And again, I go back to Julie Taymor being able to bring Africa onto that stage, and you feel like it's a real jungle, and how she was able to make people into animals and create that original feeling of the animated film, but build on that and make it better and bring in African music and African performers. And so it's not a done deal. If you just take, let's say, the Hunchback of Notre Dame and throw it on stage, it has to have something more than what the movie had, right? You can't just, or just watch the movie.
Yeah, and The Lion King is like a textbook perfect example of just like reimagine. Like, it kept everything that we love in the movie, obviously, with the music in it. We can get into it in a second, but like visually, it just reinvented it in its own. It was its own art, stage artistry. It really was. So go into the visuals a little bit. You know, you said there's like a jungle or an African, you know, savannah or whatever on stage. Like, how does it come to life, visually, in terms of like the scenic design and also the iconic costumes? Like, what are we seeing visually?
Well, like I said, it visually, it's stunning. The lighting and the set, again, are just so spectacular. I don't know another word for it. It's spectacular, right? So when that first scene of the sun rising on the savannah comes up, it's basically it's paper and wire, but with the lights and the sound of the orchestra and the way it all comes together and the animals coming out to greet basically Simba after his birth is I don't know how to describe it other than it's spectacular and moving and just it's one of those rare occasions where everybody, sound, sets, lights, actors, all hit their marks at the perfect time, at the perfect place. It's really amazing. I don't know how to describe it. It's really a visual delight. And then of course the actors bring it alive, right? The acting and the singing and the music. Elton John, who can be better than Elton John? Come on.
I mean, say no more. I mean, I grew up with that music. And both the movie versions and then Elton's, you know, epic radio versions of Can You Feel the Love Tonight and Circle of Life or The Wheel of Fortune. Oh, I mean, they're both great. All of it. I'm obsessed with it. We'll go into the music a little bit then, because I can't use that soundbite of me saying those song titles. So let's have you go remind us some of the iconic numbers that we are going to use.
Of course, there's Circle of Life. That's the beginning of the show, and it introduces the world that is Lion King, and there we have an elephant on stage, and we have a rhino on stage, and we have two giraffes on stage, and we have a cheetah on stage, and they're all brought to life by these incredible dancers and singers and actors that work very hard. We call them puppets, but they're really not puppets. They're extensions of ourselves, really. I mean, I think of the Pumbaa puppet, which is basically the pig that I enter and put on my back every night, as an extension of me, right? It has nothing to do with like being the Muppets or a puppet show. It's so much better than that and deeper than that and more exciting than that. Not to say that puppetry isn't cool, because it is, but the Pumbaa that I carry on my back is 50 pounds. It's a full costume that makes me Pumbaa, right?
So it probably gets pretty hot in there. Do you find that
it
your
does
aroma
get hot.
Does your aroma have a certain appeal?
At the end of the show, you could ask my dresser. They'll tell you. I don't know if it's a certain appeal as much as a certain disgust, but you know, it depends on what you're into.
It'll clear the savannah after every meal. Well, all right. So we've done Circle of Life. Tell us some of the other big ones.
Oh, right. Well, my favorite, of course, is Hakuna Matata, right? Because that's the end of the first act. Hakuna Matata, such an iconic, such a wonderful song. I never get bored of singing or doing that song. Mm. It is just so much fun. And I've done thousands of performances. I started in 1997. Like I said, I did it through 2011. And then it took a little bit of a break, and now I'm back. But yeah, I did on Broadway a very long time, and then to do it again, it's like stepping in. It's like meeting an old friend, where you know you haven't seen each other for 10 years, but when you see each other, it's like time never happened, right? It's like
and who's your Timon? Like who do you
Timon
is
a Well, I've done it with a many, and I've actually done Timon myself. Nick Corleone, who plays Timon in the tour here, has been doing it for a very long time. And, oh, man, couldn't be on stage with a better guy, better actor, better singer, better person. It's just so much fun. Just every single night we laugh and we smile, and it's so much fun to do. Yeah, and I know that other people feel the same, right? But with their particular song, Shadowlands, which isn't in the movie, is Nala's big number, and Khalif White, who plays Nala, just, I mean, what a talent! blows you away every single night, and you go, how can you do that every night?
And she also gets to do "Can You Feel the Love Tonight," right? Because you know, in the movie, it's just, you know, these off-screen singers as Simba and Nala fall in love, but on stage, uh-huh. and Simba, do they get to sing it together?
Yes, of course they do. And then there's an entire chorus behind them who are playing basically the jungle. Again, that's a spectacularly beautiful visual feast of both your ears and eyes. The entire cast almost is on stage playing particular, I'll say plants, but the plants are, again, they come alive. It's not like they're wearing daisies on their head. It's just a visual and aural feast.
Absolutely. And how about I Just Can't Wait to Be King? Who is our Simba, and how does that sort of come to life? I guess that's Simba and Zazu too, right?
Right. Simba, Nala, and Zazu, and a host of other dancers and singers who join in and play the other characters that are in it. Right now there's four kids in the show, a young Nala and a young Simba, and they alternate shows. So each does four shows a week. And if you remember the movie, he's young and he's just excited that he's going to be king someday. He doesn't understand the responsibility at 9 years old. But these kids, I'm telling you, so much fun and so cute. They're just so adorable. And the fact that they can get up there and do basically the first act, right? So Simba... young Simba, the little kid, both
the Jonathan Taylor Thomas version.
right, exactly. I mean, they carry the first act. Yeah. And the fact that, you know, an 11-year-old kid can carry an entire show for the first, you know, hour of a show, I'm always blown away and how good they are.
Yeah. And then obviously in the movie, it transitions to Matthew Broderick. So remind us who's
if you remember the movie... the adult Simba is an amazing actor called Darian Sanders. He's been doing the show for a while, so he's really grown into the part. And again, it's a story about a young cub who basically learns to be king through the mistakes he's made, right? Yep. And his fear of the responsibility of becoming a king. And then at the end, he has to dethrone Scar, who has just ruined everything. bad lion. Yeah. So it's the growth from the fact that the young Simba, who makes all the mistakes, and then Darian hits the stage during Hakuna Matata. If you remember in the movie, there's this scene where they're in silhouette and they're sort of singing Hakuna Matata. Matata. And then he sort of grows into the large lion that he becomes later, which is basically his dad. Yeah. We do that on stage where the young Simba goes off stage, and then the big Simba comes flying out on this vine and like does this huge jump into the middle of the stage. It's pretty exciting.
Are you going across the log, your head to side, Hakuna Matata, Hakuna?
As best I can, yeah.
Wait, so we mentioned Scar. Who is our evil? Because by the way, the Jeremy Irons as Scar, the animated Scar, to me is like right up there with like George Sanders, Shere Khan, as like the ultimate evil Animal Kingdom villains, singing Be Prepared. So who is it on stage? And I assume Be Prepared is this awesome villain
Peter
number.
Peter Hargrave is our Scar. And again, it's Scar is the only character that remains from the first act to the end. I don't want to give away the end, but that actor is in the first scene and he's in the basically the last scene.
Right.
And so he carries the show on his shoulders. And Peter is this amazing actor. He's got some juicy songs. Be Prepared is so much fun to see hyenas dance and do flips and spins and all of the other hyenas like dancing behind him like a military unit is it again. And it's visually incredible, right? The way the set comes on and there's geysers that go off and there's guys are flipping and women are doing these, goose steps. And it's a visual feast.
Yeah. When they're doing that, I like you mentioned the military marching, it's almost like Nazi soldiers in the movie. You know what I mean?
It certainly, brings that image to mind. Yes. Yeah.
And Injustice Deliciously Squared.
Yes.
The character that is not on stage from start to finish is sadly Mufasa, but an iconic booming James Earl Jones in the movie. Who is it on stage here in this production?
Gerald Ramsey plays Mufasa. Mufasa's, if you saw Wakanda Forever, he's that guy's dad. He's the wise king. He's fair. He's generous, but he can also kick butt. You know, he's a fierce predator when he needs to be, but only when he needs to be, right? So his job in this world is to raise his son to be king. And it's really touching. He has this beautiful, beautiful, amazing song that I love to listen to every night. And Gerald has this amazing voice. And he's big. Gerald's this big, big guy. He's like, I don't know, 6'4", 6'5". So he pulls off Mufasa's strength very easily, but it's the tender moments that hit me, right? So when he's talking to his son and trying to tell him that he's not going to be around forever. He Lives in You is a song where he basically tells his son, I'm not going to be here forever. And you have to be prepared for that. And, you know, I don't want to give anything away, but he has to be prepared, so to speak, a little sooner than he should have been.
Oh, I'm getting teared up. You just talking about that. And perfect.
No, it's really
Father's Day is this weekend. So perfect for that.
Yes,
right?
It is. Yeah, huh?
Man. Yeah. Mufasa.
We'll be there next week.
Awesome. Oh, it's next week. Yeah. Well, right after Father's Day, come see Mufasa.
Right after Father's Day, we're going to be in DC. And I can't tell you, the cast is, we're so pumped to be at the Kennedy Center. It's such an iconic space. And, you know, we get to stay there for a while. You know, we usually stay some in a town like right now. I don't know when this is going to air, but as we record this, I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Lovely town. Really loved it. But we're all looking forward to coming to DC. And, the tickets are selling very, very, very well. There's a lot of sold out performances already. So that gets us really pumped too, right? We know that people in DC are as excited as we are to go there to see us. So it's, we're all really psyched.
Oh, everyone is psyched to come see it too. I mean, it's the freaking Lion King. Everyone loves the Lion King.
It's the freaking Lion King.
Both the movie and the Broadway production at this point, they're both sort of like these iconic entities. And we should tell everyone that it's 6 Tonys, including Best Musical when it first came out. But so you're basically going to be seeing like Tony winning direction, Tony winning choreography, Tony winning scenic design, Tony winning costumes, Tony lighting. Like it is
Legacy is a good word because the show has, when I joined the show a year ago, I had taken off for a very long time and I had been in the show, 12 years. So I was a little tired, the Lion King was sort of, I was done with the Lion King, but to come back to it 10 years later, 11 years later, 12 years later, and see it with, fresh eyes. And to see it again and go, oh my God, this is amazing as the very first time I saw it. And I think anybody who's in the show recognizes that how lucky they are, post-pandemic particularly, to be able to do this show, tell this story, don these costumes, knowing that the product that they're giving the audience is something that has been loved and beloved. It's very interesting. I'll meet parents and their kids, and their parents will come up to me and say, "Oh, I saw this show when I was a kid. So I brought my kid." And I'm like, "Well, when did you see it?" "I saw it in 2002. I was like, "Well, I was Timon in 2002. You saw me." And they're like, "Oh my God." You know, dare I say, the circle of life.
Wow. It's funny you say you played Timon, because I can almost hear that in your voice. I could see you doing, pulling off the Nathan Lane or the Pumbaa. I can see it.
I have played Zazu, I played Timon, and I played Pumbaa, you know, separately over the years. I have been incredibly lucky. I started out as the understudy for both those three, and then ended up taking over those roles. And each one has its own joy that I find doing them, right? Timon fits me because I'm a little Irish guy who's sort of a wisecracker. But as I've aged, I've become more of a Pumbaa, right? You put on a little weight, you know, your voice gets a little rough, you know? So it's been an incredible journey. I could do this job until I'm kind of hoping I die on stage, because that would be my dream ending.
Oh my God.
Well, that's a little dark.
Well, you should play Mufasa. You know,
I have dreams of playing Scar someday. That's the one that's the only one I'm like going, I could do that. Let's see. I could be prepared.
That's the juicy
role, right?
Hamlet, evil.
Right.
Awesome. Well, it's nice you can play all of them. You're a sensitive soul.
I am a sensitive soul.
Though you seem thick skinned.
Yes.
By the way, do you get to do the Sidney Poitier spoof line, "In the heat of the night, they call me Mr. Pig"? Is that in the show?
Well, no. Yes, I put it in, but it's not in the script. You know,
I never knew that as a kid, obviously, what that was. Yeah. And then
they
call me Mr.
Pig. Nor do we do a hula. We do something different, which is a surprise to most people who've seen the movie. They're like, "Where's the hula?" And then we do what we do. They're like, "Oh my God, it's so much better," in our opinion. No, but Mr. Pig, I say it as an ad lib when I'm doing a fight, but it's not in the script anymore. No, it had been, but because they had to make cuts for time,
right?
It was one of the things that was left by the wayside from the movie. But you don't miss it.
You can't have everything from the movie, and then you wouldn't have room for all the
new because
awesome
she added.
Yeah,
see, that's the thing about the difference between watching our show and watching the movie is that they've expanded the musical repertoire a little to include South African music and South African language and songs. So, and it really brings an authenticity to the play that the movie, I don't want to say lacks, but it's different than the movie. And that's the comment I get most is like, "Oh my God, the South African music is I didn't expect it. I didn't know it was coming, and it was just amazing." And it is. We have some incredible South African performers who, I don't know how they sing their songs every night. They got chords of iron, but again, we sing in Zulu, we sing in Tutsi, and it really brings an authentic flavor to the play that perhaps the movie doesn't quite. I'm not saying anything against the movie, but they've added some stuff. So some stuff from the movie had to go by the wayside in order to make the authentic South African sound and feeling come in.
Well, that's what's cool about the Broadway version of The Lion King coming to the Kennedy Center is, you know, you think you're going to get, you know, just a fun Disney adaptation. And what you come away with is this mind-blowing international, you get culture, you know, you get culture.
I can't disagree, but it's not like you're going to a social studies class. It is it's an immersive event. It's
unless
so
it was a social
cool
studies class where your teacher, you know, you had a substitute that day and they put on the Lion King to distract you.
Right?
No, it's a mind-blowing thing. So everybody check it out. It's Disney's The Lion King musical at the Kennedy Center. It's coming June 22nd through July 29th. So get your tickets now.
And we couldn't be more excited about coming. So Hakuna Matata, and get your tickets now.
Oh, what a wonderful phrase. Hey, thanks, Pumbaa.
What a wonderful phrase. That is the perfect way to end this.
Yep. All right. See ya.
All right. Thank you.